It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Can you believe it's April 5th already? Man, time is flying through this year. And boy, something came out, I guess, on April 3rd. I think it should have been released on April 1st, though. That would have been a more appropriate day, April Fool's Day. But have you heard that they have now discovered it? Yes, yes, yes. It has officially been discovered, the missing link between man and apes. For those that were waiting in tension, wondering when the discovery would be made, it has been made. Too bad it didn't come out a few days earlier. I could have shared it on April 1st, but I'll come to that later. I do have a real serious question I want to ask you, and some interesting news to talk about as well today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 to get in the program. To email me directly, Dr. Brown, that's Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.org. Okay, many of you celebrated Resurrection Sunday yesterday. I much prefer the term Resurrection Sunday to Easter Sunday for many reasons, and I'm glad that it took place during the Passover season, which is appropriate. This would have been the celebration of first fruits, according to Leviticus 23, the day after the Sabbath within Passover. That's when our Messiah and King, our Savior and Lord, rose from the dead. But I've got a question for you. I'm going to talk about a bunch of other things on the program today, but I want to ask one primary question. Why did Jesus have to die for God to forgive our sins? I mean, he's the one that set up the system. Why did it have to require blood? Why did there have to be life for life? Why the public, humiliating, horrific death of the Son of God? And let's realize that, yes, he suffered terribly physically, but so did many other people. The Romans crucified many people. And in the war against Rome, 66 to 70 A.D., there were many thousands of Jews who were crucified by the Romans. It was not the physical suffering that was so intense as much as the spiritual suffering that was so intense. But why did Jesus have to die? I mean, couldn't God have just said to the human race through his prophets, I forgive you? Wouldn't repentance have been enough if people said, God, forgive me? He is God, after all. Here, let me ask you a question. If someone sins against you, and you, by God's grace, are able to forgive them, even before they come in repentance, but in particular when they come in repentance, I'm so sorry that what I did was wrong, and you say to them, we say, I forgive you from the heart. I hold nothing against you. You're doing it just because of the grace in your own heart, the kindness in your own heart, because God has had mercy on you. You, in turn, have mercy on that person. You don't require some kind of sacrifice or say, okay, I'm going to have to send someone to die. And no, and you don't necessarily think to yourself, well, Jesus paid the price for your sin so I can forgive. You're saying, as God forgave me and has been gracious to me, so also I want to forgive you. So the question then, why did Jesus have to die? Why did there have to be a death on the cross? Why couldn't God have just forgiven us? And if we repented, if we asked him for mercy, he just has mercy. After all, the Jewish religion, which puts tremendous emphasis on repentance and, of course, personal morality and conduct, the Jewish religion says repentance is sufficient. That, yeah, there can be some suffering and the Day of Atonement is important, etc., but the fundamental requirement is repentance. Why did Jesus have to die? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, I'm going to come back to that question through the show and give you some of my own thoughts and insights as well. But some other news items, CNN.com. While millions of Christians worldwide will celebrate Easter this weekend, David Silverman has other plans. Silverman will join about 300 atheists in a Newark, New Jersey hotel ballroom to proclaim another message. The atheist movement in America is growing. And that's the whole article, Atheist Site Resurgence as they gather on Easter weekend. Oh, Bush's polarizing presidency showed people how bad things could turn, quote, if religion was in charge. You know, that's one of the most bogus, nonsensical statements. Because President Bush was not a heavily religious president. He was not one trying to push a religious agenda. I mean, he was one saying, look, the Quran is a book of peace and Islam is a religion of peace and so on. And even if in his personal life he was a Christian or a committed Christian, and I certainly hope that's the case, and whether you were in favor of his policies or not, the idea that, oh, he was so militantly Christian and he wanted this Christian empire and this theocracy and Christians, it's nonsense. It's just nonsense. All it is people getting inflamed over nothing, nada. David Silverman said, and notice, presumably a Jew, David Silverman, it's fascinating, friends, that the national population, about 6% of Americans, according to a recent study I'd seen, a couple years old now, about 6% of Americans profess to be atheists. Okay? In the African-American population, the statistic was zero. In other words, there were not enough African-Americans professing to be atheists to even register beyond zero, which I find fascinating and something wonderful in the African-American culture, that there is this greater place for faith in God, even if at times it can be superficial. You know, when it's part of the culture, it can be superficial. But that to me is wonderful. Fascinatingly, in Jewish culture, check this out. Jewish population, 8% of Jews registered as atheists. So a higher percentage of Jews registered as atheists, men like Sam Harris, aggressive atheists, higher percentage of Jews registered as atheists than the national population. Isn't that wild? So presumably, I could be wrong, but David Silverman is Jewish, and he says closet atheists are coming out all over the country. Anybody can go on the internet, read blogs, Facebook pages, and know that there are millions like them, etc. Hey, bottom line is, there have been godless people, there have been atheists, there have been pagans, there are people of different religions. Nietzsche famously proclaimed God is dead, and of course died tragically himself, a very lost man. I can assure you that the Lord is not worried. I can assure you that Jesus does not have to figure out a new and better plan. The fact is, more rapidly than any other time in history, the gospel is spreading around the world. More rapidly than any other time in history, people are coming to faith on a daily basis. I mean, you're talking about tens and tens and tens of thousands around the world being converted, truly converted, on a daily basis. Now, here in America, while those professing Christianity may have gone down from like 85% to 75%, as I understand it, those people dropping out did not drop out and say that they are now atheists. They said that they were basically non-affiliated with religion. And as far as I'm concerned, friends, the church here in America needs a much greater demonstration of the reality of the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. Are people atheists? Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I heard from them, oh yeah, some are angry, mean-spirited, and hostile. But there's some people that couldn't find God. There are some people that, and I'm not faulting God and commending people. I'm just saying it's not that they're all mean-spirited, angry, religion-hating. Some of them have been hurt. Look, I was flying to California the other day, sitting next to a gentleman who's been deployed in Iraq a couple of times and apparently is one of our nation's top bomb specialists in terms of sending out these little robots that take the bombs apart, or the robot may blow up, $130,000 robot, but at least the people that, and he's come very close to death a number of times. And as we were talking about things, we were talking about should gays serve in the military, and he was all for it. We're going back and forth, and he explained he was an atheist himself, and even when at the edge of death, knowing that he might die on a certain mission after almost dying a few days earlier, he was no less of an atheist. As we probed, it turns out that his mother got hurt, and he watched his mother get hurt after she got divorced. She was told in her church she was no longer welcome. Again, this is just his story. But he got hurt by religion, okay? And I personally believe that if there is a rise of atheism in America, it's the church's fault, because we have not demonstrated to the world the living God. We have not demonstrated to the world that Jesus really is risen from the dead. We have not sufficiently demonstrated that our own lives are that different from people in the world. hey, they don't have God and they have a lower divorce rate than evangelical Christians. So to me, this is just another challenge for us to get before the Lord and cry out for real revival, for real visitation, for the people of God to rise up in the fullness of the Spirit and to demonstrate as witnesses, that Jesus truly is risen from the dead, the Holy Spirit testifying along with us. And I tell you, a lot of these atheists will radically repent, get humbled in the dirt, and come to life-changing faith. We'll be back. Again, my question, why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't God just forgive us without the blood of his Son? Stay with us. Michael Brown here. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Hey, Josh, if you're listening today, 13-year-old Josh, on your way home from school, it was great meeting you at our service Sunday. Great meeting your mom and dad from Greensboro. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me directly, Dr. Brown. It's drbrown at askdrbrown.org. The question we're asking, as many of you celebrated Resurrection Sunday, why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't God simply call us to repentance through the prophets, call us to repentance even through his Son coming into the world, and when we return to him in repentance, just forgive? Look, he's the one who set up the system. You say, yeah, well, sin requires death. Well, he's the one who set up the system. God did. Why couldn't God find another way for forgiveness? And look, he forgave people in the Old Testament before Jesus died. You say, well, it was on the basis of the fact he was going to die. Yeah, but was the forgiveness real or not? So why did he have to die and shed his blood? I think these are important questions to ask. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll go to the phones in a moment. Okay, this thing I was joking about earlier in the show, the missing link between man and apes found. The actual discovery of the so-called Homo habilis go all the way back to 1964, but now they say they found the skeleton as opposed to a couple of teeth or an arm bone, and they're going to reveal this. A 2-million-year-old skeleton will be unveiled this week. You wonder how long this one will last as the newest link, and you wonder how these ape-like creatures, so-called, developed the unique characteristics that make human beings human and completely distinguish us from the animal world. Just a question for you. I've got some major things to talk to you about regarding Israel and a report from a black brother about Palm Sunday with Reverend Jeremiah Wright. And maybe today, if not today, hopefully tomorrow, some really interesting dialogue about Calvinism on the Line of Fire website. But first, let's go back to the phones. James in Raleigh, thanks for calling today.
Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
My answer to that would be that the reason Jesus had to die is because God is a just God. And if he did not keep his system, if he did not fulfill his own system with his own actions and the actions of his Son, then God could not consider himself a righteous and just God to expect something different of us than he would be willing to do himself. The point is that God set up a system in where blood is the only thing that pays for our sins, which is the reason blood sacrifices were required for forgiveness in the Old Testament. And for each different kind of sin, there was a different sacrifice based on the sin and the system that God established. So in order to fulfill his own system in a just and righteous manner, God's Son had to be offered as the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for the fulfillment of his own system.
All right, so then on that basis, God, according to Romans 3, could be just by saying sin has been punished, but then the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. So he could be just and completely merciful at the same time. So great answer, very clearly laid out, James. The question behind the question then, so I agree with what you said, for sure. The question behind it is, why couldn't God have set up a different system? In other words, couldn't there have been a system where just repentance was enough instead of requiring actual blood sacrifices?
I guess my answer to that would once again be that, would you really be able to consider a just system and a system of love if God did not require discipline in his system. If all we had to do was ask for forgiveness, then there would be no consequences for the sins that we've committed. And the Bible says that God chastises those whom he loves, and that is, in my opinion, that's included in his system. So the whole thing with him setting up the system the way it is and requiring there to be a sacrifice would be that everything, that every sin that's done wrong has to be atoned for. You can't just wash it away and not have any kind of consequences or any kind of fulfillment of that wrong, because if you did, it's no longer a system of love and justice. It's just a system of forgiveness in which no lessons are taught, no price is paid.
Got it. All right, so it's not an arbitrary system that God could have set up 100 different things. You know, when you sin, your nose turns red. When you sin, it will suddenly snow. That there is a correlation between sin and punishment, sin and the consequences of sin, sin and justice. So, yeah, great insights, James. I agree with you. Thanks so much for the call. You have a blessed day.
You too, sir.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Those are great insights. I agree with every point made, but I want to keep asking if there's anything else. I want to keep asking if there's any other reason why Jesus had to die. And in total harmony with what James said, and I think if I asked more questions, I would have gotten more good answers. Why is it that sin leads to death? Why such a graphic punishment? Why such a bloody punishment? Why such a public punishment? What do we learn about God? What do we learn about sin? What do we learn about ourselves through Jesus dying? Why did he have to die? Why couldn't God have simply said, I forgive you? So I agree with our caller, and there's more I want to talk to you about. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. Our president, you know I'm not an Obama basher. I don't get up here every day as a conservative right talk show host and bash the president or bash the current administration. I take difference profoundly at certain times, have differences, but as you understand, it's not Republican-Democrat issue to me. It's righteousness, moral issue. Our president really did the nation of Israel a real disservice, the state of Israel. In case you don't know what happened, President Obama met with Prime Minister Netanyahu and basically gave him a dressing down about the 1,600 new settlements that will be built in Jerusalem. Jerusalem? Jerusalem? Do you remember that city? Remember that being a Jewish city? Oh, yeah, yeah. And under Israeli control? Uh-huh. Jerusalem. Building 1,600 new settlements in Jerusalem, in Jewish territory. The president gave him a dressing down, but, and Prime Minister Netanyahu did not back down from his position and what was going to be happening and what was right in that, thankfully. But do you know that the president just got up and walked out of the meeting? Utterly disgraceful. I mean, there's a lot of outrage about this in the Jewish community and in Christian Friends of Israel. A lot of outrage. Got up and walked out, said, hey, he's got to go have dinner with his family. Think about it. Yeah, this actually happened. I wanted to read it in a few sources to verify it, but that's what actually happened. He got up, walked out of the meeting, dissed the prime minister of Israel to go have dinner with his family. I mean, it was an unprecedented, shocking kind of thing. And the Israeli leadership, from what I read, didn't even discuss things. They immediately went back to the embassy because they didn't want their conversation to be monitored. And thankfully, Prime Minister Netanyahu is standing up for what is right. We come back. I'm going to take a few more calls about why Jesus died. Some thoughts from former New York Mayor Ed Koch, who was a strong supporter of President Obama, about the situation in Israel, as well as give you this report, Palm Sunday with Reverend Jeremiah. Right. Oh, special announcement for everyone in North Carolina. We come back to. Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, truly blessed to be with you today. 866-34-TRUTH. As we ask the question, why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't God have just forgiven our sins without the death of his son? Our first caller very correctly and insightfully pointed out God's justice, that sin had to be punished, that even the system where sin required death was also a matter of justice, not just an arbitrary system. Hey, come on, look, if every rapist was just, well, forgiven, you don't have to go to jail, or every murderer, well, just forgiven, you don't have to go to jail, there are no consequences, then there'd be no justice, there'd be chaos. And I believe there's more to this, so I'm going to get to your calls in a moment. Everybody in the North Carolina area that's listening to me, there's some very major things going on with the health care bill. From what I understand, the Attorney General of North Carolina said if he hears from enough people, he is willing to join 13 other states that will formally, legally protest the health care bill. And I believe there's a rally taking place in Raleigh tomorrow. Because many of you are not listening in North Carolina, I don't want to take more time on this, but everyone in North Carolina, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and click on Voice of Revolution. That's our online magazine. AskDrBrown.org, click on Voice of Revolution. The lead article there is an e-blast that we sent out talking about these very things, but it's time-sensitive, so try to get there today. Okay. Back to the phones. Eddie in Raleigh, thanks so much for calling today.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Great, thanks.
I appreciate your ministry. As far as the question is concerned, I'm still learning about all this stuff, but I did take a class. I'm in seminary right now, and I did take a class concerning this question, and the answer that our professor gave us that I think is very profound was concerning, I think it was a theologian who asked a student asked him the same question, and the student, the theologian basically told him that you just haven't understood the weight of sin, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I believe that Jesus died because we haven't understood the weight of sin. The extremeness of sin is the total opposite of the extremeness of the holiness of God. And mm-hmm. so Jesus had to die a gruesome, disgusting death because our sin is gruesome and disgusting, and it's so weighty that in order to lift that weight, a holy and righteous God, which is the opposite of sin, had to die in place of that.
Yeah, that. By the way, what seminary are you at, Rob?
Southeastern Baptist okay. Theological Seminary in Wake
Forest. Great. Well, that's an excellent answer that also conveys a lot of the image, the horrific nature of sin, the holiness of God, what it took to deal with sin. Absolutely. Tell your professor I'm in thorough agreement with his answer, okay?
Cool. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Sure. God bless. 866-34-TRUTH. Vince in Winston-Salem, thanks so much for calling today.
Hey, I would say it's answering the sin about why the blood sacrifice. I would think that the question would have to be asked, how is sin passed from man to man? And I would have to say that would be through our blood. The Bible says that we're born in sin. So when a man and a woman have a relationship and a child is conceived, you have both from the man and the woman. And we notice the very big difference. When Christ came, that there was not the seed of the man involved. It was seed of the Holy Spirit. And Mary was used as the vessel to carry our Lord, and hence there he was, the perfect, you know, God coming down mm-hmm. in the flesh in the form of a man, but the blood was not passed from sinful man. And that's where I would look for the answer in that area. That'd be one area I'd look at.
Got it. All right. So it's not just the concept of blood sacrifice in terms of pouring out the blood equals death, but the human connection with the blood as well. Hey, Vince, thank you for the call. There are a lot of different angles that we can look at concerning the blood of Jesus, why it was shed. And again, God did not set up an arbitrary system where if you sin, the penalty is death. It is a natural consequence of sin. Just like, for example, the extraordinary way the human body is made. And look, I'm not a medical man, but when I just read little bits and pieces, I'm just amazed and stunned and shocked at how things are made. I mean, what is just the amount of circuitry in our brain? If you would run that out, like wiring, it's how many millions of miles? I don't know, just crazy stuff. Fearfully and wonderfully made, the way the psalmist said it in Psalm 139. But when you realize the way God set things up, if you drink too much alcohol, you will develop cirrhosis of the liver. That's not a judgment in terms of God changing the laws of the body or the laws of nature. It is a natural consequence thereof. So sin bringing death, that is a natural consequence. So God's justice being manifest through this at the cross, the ugliness of sin being made manifest, the holiness of God, these are very powerful lessons. I believe there's still more. I mean, we could probably go on for centuries finding out more about the meaning of the cross, and perhaps throughout eternity we'll be able to do that. But let's do our best in the context of this program today to explore this as much as we can. Brenda in High Point, thanks so much for calling.
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on.
Okay, thank you. I've been studying this whole past weekend, and I have found in John chapter 17
mm-hmm.
that Jesus spoke these words. He said that him and the Father may be glorified, that God had given him a power over all flesh, that means sin, and that he would give us eternal life from as many as would receive it. So basically his blood was for eternal life for me and for you or anybody that would accept him as Christ the Lord. He said in verse 3, it says, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So the blood sacrifice of Christ was for all sin, people like me, that's unworthy to be able to go before him. And
right.
Now, because of that, he gave me that ability.
Isn't it amazing, Brenda? Think of this. God's holy nature never changed. In other words, the blood of Jesus does not make God less holy. The blood of Jesus does not make sin less ugly. And yet, through the blood of Jesus, now you and I, still frail human beings, are worthy of going into the very presence of God. I mean, that's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And even more extraordinary is the fact that when once Christ, he even told his disciples in his prayer, this it was a prayer in John 17, that he prayed for us as human beings. But as he prayed, he said that he would send us a Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that Holy Spirit could not come to us until he died on the cross. Once he died on that cross, then we could receive that Holy
right.
Spirit.
Right, John 7:39. Yep, John 7:39 says that the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. All right, lot more to talk about, more still about the why of the cross, what we learn about God, what we learn about ourselves. Stay with us. Focusing today, friends, on the death of Jesus. Why did he have to die? Why couldn't God simply have forgiven our sins? Why did God have to set up a system in the first place that sin required death? Got some great calls and insights so far. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go back to the phones, there's an article by Ellis Washington, and I specifically say he's a black brother because of his criticism of Reverend Jeremiah Wright and his questions for President Obama. It's called Palm Sunday with Reverend Jeremiah Wright. And he says, as I drove up to Hartford Memorial Baptist Church in Detroit last Sunday, I knew something big was going to happen this day. So it's a week ago Sunday. How did I know? Because I couldn't get a parking place within 3 blocks of the church. What was going on? Well, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, under whom our president sat for 20 years, was preaching. And it turns into a Israel-bashing message. based on 2 Kings 6, Syria-Israel war equals the America-Iraq war, King of Syria equals President Bush, Operation Capture Elisha equals Operation Desert Storm, Prophet Elisha equals Saddam Hussein, an innocent man with no WMDs. Can you believe this? Syrian army equals U.S. military, evil pagan army hell-bent on capturing the man of God, Syria's servants equals equal President George Bush military and political advisors, Elisha's servants equal black Americans whose eyes needed to be opened about how evil and redeemable the U.S. of KKKA is. So, the article ends, for those of you who still believe that one can sit in Reverend Wright's church of hate for 20 years and not be affected, compare the outrageous treatment Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu received to the anti-Semitic rant of Reverend Wright, who said the Israelis have illegally occupied Palestinian territories for over 40 years now. Divestment has now hit the table again as a strategy to wake the business community and wake up Americans. Consider the injustice and the racism under which the Palestinians have lived because of Zionism. The article closes, if the Reverend Jeremiah Wright can proudly and repeatedly say God damn America in a 2003 sermon while Barack and Michelle Obama likely sat applauding in the congregation, perhaps America will emphatically say, no, I'm not going to repeat that closing line of the article here. It's a little bit too extreme, but enough said. Okay, sorry about that. I just spotted the last line as I was reading it, and I don't want to read it because it would be too offensive to you, but it's calling for the clear rejection of our president by the American voters in 2012. Okay, Joe in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you doing? Good to hear you again.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I would like to respond as to why we needed a blood atonement. First of all, in the Old Testament, when God established a covenant with Abraham, he required a blood atonement of animal sacrifices. Well, man in his carnal nature began abusing that when they began having orgies and parties and eating the sacrifice meat. And ultimately, the real purpose in the blood atonement was that God wanted to restore the relationship between the Father who created us and the creation, man. And that was broken by sin in the garden, as we well know, and it's been well covered already on the program. But the blood of Jesus was essential for two things. First, where salvation is concerned, redemption and restoration.
Mm-hmm.
Restoration to the Father, redemption from our sins. Also, the blood of Jesus was shed for our healing, our physical bodies. He said, I would, above all, that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement upon him of us was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. So he intended for us to live a prosperous life, a healthy life, in a spiritual walk and a relationship with the Father who created us. And the only way that could possibly be done was through the shedding of blood.
All right. So hey, Joe.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You. Thank you for the call, sir. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm not going to have time to comment on every call. I want to try to get to another one or two before we're done. Mary in Raleigh, thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, am I on?
You are on.
Oh, great. Thank you. I have agreed basically with everything that has been, the answers that have been given so far. And actually, my question is probably a little more for my own personal edification, because I thought along the lines also of the fact that when God created man, he gave him dominion over everything. And mm-hmm. since he had set that law, so to speak, he couldn't violate his own law. So in order for that to be rectified, that it would require man's blood. So he sent his son, who was fully human and fully divine, and had his blood shed so that could be reversed.
Right, so
and
it wasn't...
I'm going to hang up.
Got it.
I'm
all
sorry.
Right. Thank you. No, good. I appreciate it. So in other words, even though God rules and reigns, he set up a human system. He set up a human system with justice. He set up a human system that requires certain penalties and punishments. And he came into that system not as God alone, but as God fully clothed in human flesh, perfectly man as well. And as man, Adam brought sin, last Adam brought redemption. All right, I've got a major insight when we come back. We've gotten some great calls, a couple calls I would have liked to interact with a little further, didn't have the opportunity, but talking about why Jesus had to die. Why couldn't God simply have said, I forgive sin? We turn to him in repentance. Even repentance and we change. We don't do the thing anymore. That wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Jesus had to die. If there was any other way, if other religions had a valid way to God, if we could simply improve ourselves or just find mercy, Jesus would not have died. It had to happen based on the system set up by God, a system which is based on his love and his justice and his holiness. I want to give one major insight that perhaps you all take for granted, and that's why no one called in with it. Before I do that, I had promised just to play former New York Mayor Ed Koch's comment about what happened with President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu. So I'll just play a brief excerpt as promised.
Mayor, what do you make of this hard stance response?
What is very difficult for me to accept, and I have been a supporter of President Obama and went to Florida for him, urged Jews all over the country to vote for him, saying that he would be just as good as John McCain on the security of Israel. I don't think it's true anymore. I believe that he orchestrated what happened in Israel. We, the United States, had accepted, the Palestinians had accepted, the fact that there would be a moratorium on the West Bank, but in Jerusalem, Jews could live wherever they wanted to live and could afford to live.
So this was just for show, and that's the way they treated Netanyahu at the White House was for
show? It's not show. I think that what they did is they wanted to make Israel into a pariah. And it's really outrageous in my judgment. The shocking thing is that the supporters of Israel in Congress, you know, they had a party, you know, you can count on us, but they haven't stood up and said to the president, you're wrong on this, Mr. President.
But Mayor, you're the only one in Manhattan who's saying this. Only one. So why is that?
Well, there are several reasons. Some would say Chuck Schumer, for example, is a great defender of the state of Israel as one of our
Well, he couldn't allies. Have supported this treatment.
No, but what he says is he's working behind the scenes.
All right, so we'll see how many other people are working behind the scenes. That was former New York Mayor Ed Koch with Neil Cavuto on Fox News. Okay, I have been really focused, praying a lot, thinking a lot about the debate scheduled to take place now in just 10 days with Professor Bart Ehrman on Does the Bible Provide an Adequate Answer for the Problem of Suffering? By the way, you can watch that free live webcast if you're nowhere near Ohio State University, you can't get to it. Free webcast, go to thegreatdebate.me, thegreatdebate.me, and you can sign up now. It won't cost you a dime. They'll even check your system to make sure that you'll be able to watch the webcast, thegreatdebate.me. So I've been reading a lot of books thinking about this subject, and I'm reading William Dembski's book called The End of Christianity. And listen to what he says. Why was the cross necessary at all? If there was a rift between God and humanity, why was suffering, Christ's suffering on the cross, the key to healing it? In a fallen world, the only currency of love is suffering. Indeed, the only way to tell how much one person loves another is by what the person is willing to endure for the other. Without the cost incurred by suffering, love among fallen creatures becomes cheap and self-indulgent. Suffering removes the suspicion that the good we do for one another is for ulterior motives, with strings attached, a quid pro quo. Christ, by going to the cross and there taking on himself the sin of the whole world, fully demonstrates the love of God. Moreover, only such a full demonstration of God's love enables us to love God with all our heart. The extent to which we can love God depends on the extent to which God has demonstrated his love for us, and that depends on the extent of evil that God has had to absorb, suffer, and overcome on our behalf. God, Romans 5, God commends his love towards us, and yet while we were yet sinners, Christ, Messiah, died for us. How extraordinary the love of God. Back with you folks tomorrow. Be blessed. Shine for Jesus.